Wrestle Radio Australia is a part of the FNX network. You can find this show and other great shows at fnxstream.com. That's fnxtreme.com.
This is it, Andy!
Hold one!
Arm drag!
This is Brian Alvarez!
Hold two! Arm bar!
This is Robbie Eagles!
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
The queen, yeah. The queen of the crop.
Hey, this is Rocky Monero.
And there is no one that does it better.
This is 5 times the world's heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
My name is Josh Armour and welcome to Wrestle Radio Australia. Thank you for downloading or streaming the show. Of course, don't forget to follow us and tweet us while you're listening at Wrestle Radio AU. You can give your thoughts on the show and if you're actually at the MCW Final Battle show as well, love to get your thoughts because today, friends of the show Luke Sicari and MCW announcer Travis Usden, who you may have heard on the show a few weeks ago, they're here to talk about Melbourne City Wrestling and MCW's 50th event from last weekend, Final Battle. We'll get to them soon, but first, folks, gotta remind you to subscribe to the show if you haven't already. We bring you Wrestle Radio Australia pretty much every week on fnxstream.com, iTunes and Stitcher. Plus, you can hear old episodes on our YouTube channel. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia on YouTube and boom, you'll find us there. First, I've got to let you know that we're having our first WRA Listener's Choice Awards, and there are categories covering overseas wrestling, and there's Aussie categories that you can vote on as well. I've put a link to the poll in the show notes, and it is also pinned to the top of our Facebook page, our Facebook group, and our Twitter. So you have until New Year's Eve this year to vote, and then in early January of 2015, we'll have our little awards episode there to, sort of recognize excellence and find out, I guess, you know, what you guys really enjoyed and what you dug in 2014. We may even see if we can get some special guests on the line as well. No surprise, no promises, but we'll see what we can do. We'll see if we can wrangle something there. And when you're done voting, be sure to give Australian Indie Wrestling a like on Facebook if you haven't already. That's where you'll find all the latest info on Aussie indie promotions, daily updates, the weekend schedule, photo shoots, podcasts, videos, matches, updates on Aussies overseas, all that and much more. Facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling. About to get somebody on the line here before we get to the boys, but first, check this out.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman.
Hey, he started from the bottom, now he's here.
I'm Miller.
He loves the day.
I'm McBuckets.
I just get buckets, it's plain and simple.
I'm LJ.
Ask him how you threes hit on Monday night. Oh, none.
We're joined by our mate Mo.
I'm still looking up Dwight's baby mama, so give me a minute.
Where we cover all the NBA, NBL, and other ball news, but mainly talk trash for an hour or so every fortnight. You can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio app.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter at B-Ballers Podcast.
Or wherever good podcasts are sold.
Dude, it's free.
Wait, we don't get paid?
Nah, man.
Shit, I quit.
That's Big Brawlers Podcast. Funnier than a Sean Marion jumper.
All right, before we chat MCW with Travis and Luke, we've got a very special guest on the show, folks. She is going to be taking on Vixen in a hardcore match at From Parts Unknown, Fight Like a Girl. It says a movie premiere happening in January in Melbourne, and on top of the actual premiere of the film, there is going to be live action. And joining us is Kellyanne English. And Kel, yeah, thanks really for joining us. Appreciate it.
That's okay. Thanks for having me, guys. As you said, I'm doing a hardcore match, which I haven't actually done a hardcore match since I was 15, which I'm sure was very illegal, so I'm very excited for it.
Well, you've had a crazy 2014, you know, some great matches and all over Australia, but you've also had your fair share of injuries this year. It's kind of been a roller coaster, hey?
Last year, all my years years have finally caught up to me. I used to always say, yeah, I've been wrestling for like 5 years, not had one injury. And in the last 3 months, I tore my trapezius, I split my head open, and I snapped my ankle. Two of them were at RCW, so maybe that's a sign, I'm not sure.
We're a curse, we're a bad luck charm. And also last weekend, it was Wrestle Rock in Melbourne Wrestle Clash? I'm getting my wrestles confused there because it does tie in, I guess, because Brooksy, the Flog, the Ledge, he popped the big one at Wrestle Rock in 2015. You guys are tying the knot. What's going on there?
So he proposed to me after his match and I said yes, and now we're having a very big wedding at Wrestle Rock on the 8th of March, which is going to be huge. Very, very surprising.
I'm just hoping that nothing untoward happens at the wedding. I mean, it is taking place. I'm guessing it's going to be taking place in the ring or very close to. History tells us that this is not going to end well. I hope it does, though.
Well, look, it's going to be a straight wedding. Everything is going to go to plan, as all wrestling weddings do. Nothing out of the ordinary. And we're also filming the Bucks night and the Hens night. Everyone's going to be able to see everything.
That's going to be crazy. I hope, in the lead up to Wrestle Rock, we actually do get some teasers on YouTube. That'd be rad.
Will.
That'd be awesome. Before we talk about the film premiere and your match with Vixen coming up in January, what have been, I guess we're sort of at that point of the year where we're looking back on 2014, what have been some of your highlights from not only your own matches and the stuff you've been doing, but also, I guess, matches or angles or just things in general that you've seen in Aussie wrestling this year that stand out?
Yeah, I think personally, I think I wrestled more this year than I have any year, mainly thanks to RCW. I was wrestling at least 3 times a month, which is a lot for Australian wrestling. I enjoyed, obviously, the girls' shows at RCW, working with Savannah and, all that lot. But I think I really enjoyed the angle at RCW with, Todd Eastman and the whole Eastman brand thing going on there with Grimm and, Mimic and everything. That was very exciting. And, you get yourself emotionally involved almost, even though you're backstage. Like, that's when you know something's good, when you're backstage but you still feel like a fan. So, yeah, obviously watching all that and obviously getting my first, main title belt here for Warzone was huge. Having my mum in the crowd made it even better. I think this year's been very good for all of Australia. I think we've all stepped it up a bit, and everyone seems to be taking it a lot more seriously than they did a few years ago. Everyone's wanting to look better, and everyone wants to be good. And I think the standard has definitely raised these last few years, and I think it's only just going to keep getting better and better and more competition.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, just last weekend even in Melbourne, Victoria, between PCW, MCW, and then I think Wrestle Clash was the same weekend, and there's something like 1,200 to 1,300 odd people. I think actually the guys on Covering the Canvas, they mentioned it, Jesse Beard and the crew, that to get that many locals out there watching wrestling on one night, regardless if it's split amongst two or three feds, that's pretty awesome. Like, it's getting to that stage where now we don't have to say, oh well, we got to compete with the even the American indies. We can say, well, the indies are here. Like, they're here,
We're hoping to get to a point where, because everyone knows the American indies, at one point we want to be able to say, the Australian indies and be on the map and be recognised for Australian wrestling, not just trying to be indie wrestlers, and hopefully it will get to that. And I think if we keep bringing down internationals and, letting them see what we do have here, because I think we're all pretty good. Like, if you go, I remember when I went to Canada and stuff, you'd be amazed at how, shit it can be in the indies over there and in America. And coming here, we don't realise how well we really do have it, and the people that, how good the people are here, we take for granted.
Yeah, no, that's something that, you know, folks that, you know, get your overseas folks coming down and they're even impressed, saying like, well, you know, you have your shit everywhere, but, you know, you've got your good stuff everywhere and there's a lot of good stuff here in Australia. And the Warzone title, you won that one, I think it was off Savannah Summers, yeah?
Yeah, it was against Savannah Summers, and I've had a lot of matches against her, and it was great.
Where do you sort of rank her amongst, well, I guess, you know, you say you love wrestling, but amongst all the opponents that you've sort of, you've had over the years and that the people that you've worked with, is there something about her that sort of, like, it stands out and you go, well, I can see why she's been around so long and why she's been invited here and there?
What I do like about working with her is that she doesn't really say no to anything. So if you say, hey, we should try this extremely dangerous, horrifying thing, she's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yep.
You know, and that's quite rare to find. You know, I find that in girls like her and Vixen and stuff, and that's something that a lot of girls down here or, you know, elsewhere in the world, some of them don't really want to do things out of the ordinary or things that we shouldn't do and stuff, you know, and I thrive off that sort of thing.
And so let's talk about, I guess, the movie premiere that's coming up in January. It's from Parts Unknown, Fight Like a Girl. And I guess the easiest way to put it is it's a zombie slasher that mixes pro wrestling and women's empowerment. And it's all sort of all this crazy crazy stuff mixed into this blend of wrestling, zombie, horror.
It really is every geek's dream. I mean, there's wrestling, there's zombies. There's video games. It's actually about, like, zombies coming out of a video game. Like, I can't think of anything better. And to top it off, they're doing, you know, this massive premiere, and they're having an after party, which is going to have bands, and, you know, it's going to be alcohol flowing, and then they're going to have a hardcore match with two women, and they're also having matches with, like, Cracker Jack in it, and Sarah Monroe, Michelle Hasler.
Like, sorry, Kel, I've got to cut you off there. Cracker Jill, I think we should.
Come on. Sorry. Yeah, she's his ugly sister.
That's it. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing Cracker Jill in person yet, so maybe one day, you never know.
She's the right tart, she is.
Amazing. And against Vixen, you've wrestled her many times in the past, and she's got, for folks who aren't familiar with Vixen listening to this, she's got that, she's hardcore. She's the hardcore bitch, by name, by nature. And you know, I've spoken to her on the podcast, and you get that sort of like, oh shit, like, am I really in trouble here, or is she just having me on, you know? So she's got that thing about her, that the Soraya Knights, I think, a little bit, you know, where you don't really know, like, she's towing that line between crazy and performance out there. It's amazing. Like, it's really, really cool. And
I've been wrestling her since I was 14. So you know, we've been wrestling heaps and heaps, and my only hardcore match was with her and Mad Dog. We did a death match, you know, so I can't think of anyone better to do a hardcore match with.
And that is happening January. I'm just gonna get the date right here because I don't want to screw that up.
January 10th.
There it is.
At the Thornbury Theatre.
At the Thornbury, which a lot of, I guess, you know, MCW fans even, they'll be very familiar with the Thornbury. So, you know, I guess a lot of people are going to know their way there. They're not going to be strangers. So you've got no excuse to get down there and check it out. And, I guess it is it an over-18s event, this one?
Oh, you know what? I'm pretty sure it is because there is going to be alcohol, and I'm pretty sure the movie is probably rated R. So most probably.
Okay, no worries, sorted. So, well, look, Kel, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I think it's your third time on the show, so first three-time guest, I believe. So put that one in your belt. There we go. And hopefully we'll have you back again real soon. We can talk some more wrestling or have a sit-down chat. That'd be rad.
Easy done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kel.
We have the past, the future, and the now. How about at Thornbury, we find who's the best? You think either of you teams are better than us? Then the loose and the reckless, let the floor around here. We are the greatest tag team this company has ever had. You got your match at Thornbury, no worries.
I'm Vince and Vito.
Yeah. December 13th, Thornbury Theatre will host the most dangerous match in MCW history. Tommy, you and me, Carnival of Horrors match. There is no give up, there is no surrender. There is only blood and your head on a pike. For you, Tommy Hellfire, December 13th, Thornbury Theatre will be a theatre of pain.
In MCW history, we are having a tables, ladders, and chairs match. You will see Carlo Canis defend the MCW Championship against Jag, Hartley Jackson, and Davis Storm. And I guarantee you, I will give you everything that I have. I will walk in there, the champion, and leave the same way I walked in. Mama said
knock you out. Chatting with some folks who are very familiar with the Thornbury Theatre, the old home of MCW, here with Travis Usden from MCW and a big supporter of Aussie wrestling, Luke Sicari. And fellas, this is going to be a fun one.
Yes, it will be, Josh. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, thank you. Should be good. Looking forward to it.
And I guess the main reason that we're here is to talk about MCW Final Battle. That was last weekend in Melbourne, Victoria. And yeah, from all reports, it was an awesome show. As I said to Kel a moment ago, that, you know, for that many people to be going out on that weekend and seeing Aussie wrestling just in Melbourne alone, pretty awesome. And Luke, we haven't had you on for a while, but last time you were on, you were also talking MCW, and there's still a lot of people talking about that Tony Storm match from earlier in the year.
Yeah, the one down at Craigieburn and the Divas match, that was awesome. And it's one of the high points of the show at the moment. It's really good to see.
And yeah. Travis, being a part of the show, what was it like in the lead up to Final Battle? Was there was it all, because I guess, you know, we know what it's like, you know, leading up to a show. Sometimes it's really smooth sailing and everything falls into place come show day, and sometimes it's a nightmare. Was everything everything on the ball leading up?
Yeah, everything went very well. Everyone was all nervous and everything like you expect on a big show before the show, but. Yeah, Thornbury crowd, there's nothing like a Thornbury crowd, and they were there again, that their voices, making their voices heard, and yeah, it was a very good show. But yeah, I was very nervous before that, because you could hear the crowd, they were all making so much noise out there even before the show started, and as soon as that show started, they just went ballistic. So yeah, it was nothing like a Thornbury show.
And so I guess we'll kick it off with the opening match. It was the tag team title match here, World's Friendliest Tag Team, going up against Hardway Inc. And I guess, Luke, we'll let you lead with it as far as the commentary, so to speak, you know, and just talk us through the matchup. How was it?
Yeah, this match, it was opened the show for bang. It was absolutely awesome. Just to start, it was just everyone going nuts. I didn't know Adam Brooks could do some outside dives that he did on the weekend. That was awesome. Nearly everyone was just on their A game for this one. It was absolutely incredible. How did it look from the commentary table, Travis? Because the crowd was going nuts all right into this one, no doubt.
Yeah, they really needed a real big match to start things, because, like I said, the crowd were pumped and they really pulled off one of the best matches I've seen. And from the commentary booth, it was actually a hard match to commentate, because it was just bodies flying everywhere and so everything so fast that it was hard to sort of keep up. It was an added stipulation that it was a Mexican tornado tag, so it was always so a competitor could leave the ring and didn't need to tag anyone, and another wrestler could enter the ring. So that really added a different dynamic to what we're used to seeing in sort of triple threat tags. And I think it worked really well, and I hope they do that again.
when the Rude Ones, when Del Torino and Marvel were sort of doing their thing as a team down in RC Dub a couple of years back. That was all the rage, like them doing these tornado tags, and especially with Andy Roy and Chris Basso competing against those two. Like, they just had some amazing matches, and under those rules, because it gave it, yeah, this whole new dimension, and it's really hard to explain. You just think, oh, well, you can roll out to the outside, and then your partner can come in, but there's a lot of little things that they can do within the match working with those rules, and being a triple threat, that would have been very, very intense action. In fact, before we go any further, I just want to say that all the MCW shows, pretty much almost all of them from the last couple of years at least, you can get on MCW Encore on Vimeo, and I've had it the message from Mikey J, the producer and the man down there at MCW, that it'll be out in a couple of weeks, this one. It's going to take a little longer to sort of put it together and edit, but he's guaranteed me that it will be top-notch, up there with anything in independent wrestling as far as video productions go. Yeah. So five or six camera angles or something, like, just ridiculous.
Yes, I was
the
just
amount
about
of effort
to say
that went into it.
Yeah, six camera angles they've set up for this one. A GoPro in the corner of the ring, so there's going to be some massive angles coming from everywhere. So, and in a match like this, where there's so much things going on everywhere, it's going to be... I'm really looking forward to watching it. So,
I love that GoPro shot in the corner, because it really, when someone gets whipped into the corner or there's a big bump, you could really, like, almost feel it with that shot.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the closer the camera is, the more you're going to feel it, every single bump, every single hit. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
So, yeah, in due time, folks, in due time, it'll be... but until then, go there and get some more, some of the other on-demand videos for Christmas, maybe, for a friend. Tell your family. Buy one for your family. There you go.
I'm buying my mum Ballroom Brawl.
Hey. you just told her it's Ballroom. So she'll buy it. Oh, that sounds lovely, hon. Thank you. And then, of course, you know, next thing you know, it's like, hey, I didn't expect that. Anyway.
But, yeah, going back to that match, world's friendliest tag team for a team that have been together twice.
Yeah.
I think it's Backstreet Boys, their theme song, and as soon as that hits, the crowd erupt, and they're very, very over, and it's very good to watch.
Yeah, definitely in the crowd, two lovable guys, TD and Lockie Hendricks, just really happy, really into it, athletic in the ring, do some awesome spots. You can't hate them. It's really tough to hate those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are the two friendliest guys backstage. Too, so
there you go.
And the Law, they must have been cracking it big time after they, you know, after they had that massive celebration and Brooksy had the Barbie cranking just a month prior. Now, Goldless, they wouldn't have enjoyed that at all come the end of it.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't think Dowry enjoyed it during the match as well. He was absolutely belted. There was one spot in particular. It was the Hardway Inc. I think it was Jay Andrews had him in like a pile driver type of position, and then Mike jumped off the top rope and they like slammed him into the ground. It was absolutely awesome. And he was shaking up that whole match. He was getting absolutely belted. Well, that's what it looked like from the crowd anyway. Absolutely belted. He looked shaken up after the match as well.
Sounds kind of similar to the Meltzer driver that the Young Bucks sort of tend to use, where they're in like a tombstone position, and then sort of comes down like this sort of I know what you mean. That move when it's done well, it looks nice, looks brutal.
Yeah,
very cool.
No doubt.
And yeah, when the world's friendliest tag team won those belts, like the Thornbury crowd, they were just so happy for them. It was a really good moment. Like, they were holding up the belt in the middle of the ring, and the crowd were so happy for them. And yeah, it was one of them wrestling moments that was just really good. The young guys that achieved their dream, and yeah, really good story.
Definitely.
Yeah, look at it.
Awesome way to kick off the show. Awesome.
Looking at some of the photos as well, guys, like from Corey Lockwood, of especially that match, it really does like tell that story just through the images of like, wow, these guys are so happy, and the people up on their feet for them. And I couldn't think of a better way to open a show and get people in a great mood than having the WFTT win the tag belt. That's awesome, dudes. Awesome. And our next matchup, we had Elliot Sexton defeating Cousin Ali.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. Cousin Ali, I think it was his third match or second match in MCW. Like, official match, correct me if I'm wrong, going up against Elliot Sexton, who had the tape around his ribs, favouring the ribs. Yeah, look, it was a good match. Sexton picked up the victory. The crowd loves Sexton when his music hits the Sexton rocks. That really gets them pumped up for the max. Yeah. Pumped up for the match. That was awesome to see. And yeah, it was good to see him pick up a victory. One of MCW's favourites, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you had Elliot Sexton, who's normally his offense is being the powerful guy, and he's got that rib injury, which meant he didn't have that card to sort of rely on, and he was up against Cousin Ali, who sort of matched him for size. So it really, he sort of had to really dig deep to try and find something to beat Cousin Ali, and that was a really good match to watch, because that story played right throughout the match.
Yeah, it was definitely power versus power, strength versus strength, no doubt. It was a lot different from the high flying we just saw the previous match, but it was really, really fun to watch.
And then Elliot Sexton did something that not many people thought he could do, and he slammed Cousin Ali, and the crowd erupted.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome moment of the match.
Tried it a couple of times, but the ribs were hurting him, so he didn't know if he was actually going to get it up, and then once he finally got him up, bang, go to the crowd.
That was it.
So imagine how Sexton's gone, because he used to be that ultimate slimy heel that everyone absolutely hated. And I guess it was you're a star in the people's eyes when you can take time off and then come back the way that he did. And people just all of a sudden were like, oh, Elliot Sexton is back. And they were so into him, because it'd be so easy, if you lost some of your regulars and whatnot, for the people to sort of come out and go, who's this guy? But when he came back, I believe it was in the Big Battle Royal or the Big Rumble that took place earlier in the year. And seeing the video, everyone just went absolutely bonkers as soon as he hit the ring. And that's, I think, the sign of someone who's really got it, when these people not only remember you, but they look at you in that way, that they're like, he's our guy now, it's pretty awesome. And how's Cousin Ali coming along? Because he's new to the ring. He's sort of been that right-hand man for Emmanuel. How's he going, Travis, do you think, as far as wrestling?
Yeah, he's like I said at the last podcast, he's been training for a long, long time before he got his first match, years. Mm. And if you didn't know it was his second match, he's just got that look, he's got that fierce stare, he stares at his opponent, and you think, God, this guy could kick the shit out of me. He's just got that sort of feeling about him. And in the ring, if you didn't know it was his second match, you'd think he'd been in there for a lot longer, because he's really holding his own. And they're putting him up against in matches against Elliot Sexton and all that, experienced guys in the ring. So he's really holding his own, Cousin Ali. And the crowd really turning on him. There used to be a few Ali chants and all that back in the day, but I think he's put that character together so well that they've actually turned on him, which is very hard to do.
I only ask because he has been training for a long time, but, once you get out there in front of the people, it's a whole different ballgame, So, it's very, very cool to know that because he is quite a presence, the guy, just watching him even on camera. Hopefully Cousin Ali's around for a while.
I think he's such impressive. A perfectionist too. So, you can see him before the match, he's so nervous, and then after the match, he's always picking on little things that he could have done better, and that's what's going to make a guy a superstar. Not just being happy with just any performance. Always, I'm sure he watches the matches back and thinks, I'll do this different next show, and I'll do this different next show. And that's what's going to make him a massive presence in Aussie wrestling.
What are your impressions of Ali as a fan, Luke, and seeing him come along?
Yeah, no, he looks really good at the moment. Obviously, first couple of matches, but he's got the feel of that big guy, just that he's going to be hard to beat. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He's just got that essence about him when he steps into a ring. It's like, oh crap, this is going to be good, No, he's going to be great in the future. With someone of his size to be in the ring, it's just, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I was seeing him do flip bumps and stuff like that when we were at training, and it just, blow me away. Like, he was doing flip bumps like the smaller guys and the sort of stuff. And he's got that, if you had your babyface wrestler in the middle of the ring and all of a sudden Ali's music hit and he started walking down the entranceway just staring at his opponent, he has that sort of, that Brock Lesnar, you know, holy shit, someone's going to get their ass kicked. He's got that sort of look and feel to him, and that's money, so...
That's exactly right. It's always money. It's always, you know, when people, you got people out there go, shit, he might actually kick my ass, you know. that's why, that's bad. It's when you know you're onto something there. And speaking of kicking ass, the next matchup, the Carnival of Horrors, Tommy Hellfire with Siren Monroe at ringside, defeating the Cremator and Carnival of Horrors. You can pretty much imagine from the name what this match entails. Just hardcore to the max. I've seen the photos of these guys, Cremator, at least at the hospital afterwards. And wow, like this must have been absolutely brutal. Tell us about it, guys.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right when you said it was brutal. This match. We're going into it. I'm like, I knew it was going to be hardcore. I knew it was because these guys have been feuding for months on end. But I was not. I don't think anyone in the crowd really was expecting what we saw. It was absolutely brutal, brutal match. There was cheese graters, barbed wire tables, road signs, thumbtacks, stage lights. It was everything. Absolutely awesome.
And there was a spot where there was a. You pulled out a. Like a Santa pinata, and you didn't know what was going to happen there. He rips the top off, and of course, there's thumbtacks in there, and both men are just covered in blood. And you think surely someone's not going to go through thumbtacks now, and that happened. And it was probably the most brutal match I've ever commentated. And the Carnival of Horrors, it's really built up a name for itself. That if you see a Carnival of Horrors match on the card, you know it's going to be brutal and ugly.
Cremator's got a bit of a history with the Carnival of Horrors, am I right there?
Tommy Hellfire's actually got... Well, he's been in every Carnival of Horrors match.
Right, so, it's Tommy. Yeah. I knew that it was synonymous with one of these guys.
So the last one I seen was against Grimm, which was another brutal match. It wasn't as bloody, but it was, very brutal, throwing each other through the walls and all sorts of things, so...
Yeah, it was definitely a bloody match. In the crowd, I noticed a few people were closing their eyes at some stages. It was actually funny. There was one guy in the front row, during the match, and some of Cremator's blood actually went onto him. And he actually was pretty good. I would have freaked out if that was me. I would have screamed. But, he was pretty cool with it. It just shows... Like Josh said, if you go on the Facebook page and look at the images, there's this one great image from after the match of the ring just covered in blood and thumbtacks. Yeah. It was the intermission after that, and I tell you what, they worked hard, those guys, to clean up the ring after that.
I love Aussie wrestling. I'm happy to do whatever job, but I'm happy I'm not a ring cleaner because that would have been a horrible job. And lucky we went to intermission after that because the whole ring was just blood. Like I walked in there to call the intermission and I was stepping over thumbtacks and bloody barbed wire and blood. And it looked like someone had been murdered in there.
Yeah, it was something else, I tell you. It was something else. Something out of the old ECW days. It was incredible.
And I actually gave him a shout out before when I was chatting to Kel real quick, but covering the canvas, Tommy Hellfire was on there a couple of weeks ago, and I recommend checking that out. It was a pretty cool interview, that. So, folks, check that one out as well. Cross-promotion, sharing the love, that's what we're about here. And then Casey Cassidy versus Madison Eagles. And via submission, Casey won this one. Of course, she also won the it was Fight for a Cause, the tournament that MCW had to support breast cancer awareness in Australia just a few weeks back. And so coming red hot off of that into this one, defeats Madison Eagles. And Madison, she hasn't been in MCW for a long, long time. Or was it her first time in MCW?
She hasn't been there since I've been there, but she's definitely got a really strong following. Like, they put on the Facebook that Madison Eagles, and the amount of comments, hell yeah, so I can't wait for this. And she's really got a good following, but she hasn't been there since I've been in MCW. But yeah, it was really good to see her. And once again, like Elliot Sexton, it just shows how good she is if she can be away from a promotion for so long and still have such a big following, because, she's got a lot of fans in the MCW crowd.
Yeah, to be honest, it was my first time seeing her, seeing Madison Eagles, and she made a believer out of me during the match. A very, very talented wrestler. I think I saw somewhere in one of the PWI rankings she was 15th in female wrestlers or something like that. I saw it in the comments in the on the Facebook page event. So you know, she was definitely a great wrestler. As is KC, she's obviously an MCW favourite.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good match, really, off the intermission, really fun match to watch.
It was a very different match to what you used to with female wrestling too. Like, it was very technical, very, wasn't the high spot. It was really just a full battle of who was the better technical wrestler, and the tables would get turned. You'd think that she's going to get the pin and all of a sudden it'd be changed. And yeah, it was like, I've never seen Madison Eagles wrestle before, but I knew how respected she is. And I was met her backstage and I was nervous because I just know she's like a legend in female wrestling. And yeah, so...
I know she had a fascination there for a while with bringing cutlery to the ring. There was no forks being busted out? No?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing just, of that kind.
just checking. Just from Madison Eagles, from her tweets, folks, if you bring her a coffee, she'll be happy. She'll be on your side. I'm guessing anyway.
On her T-shirt, I think it said something like that. Something about coffee and kicking ass. So
there you
on
go.
On her T-shirt,
yep.
Yeah.
I need that T-shirt because I love. I'm no good at kicking ass, but I love a good coffee. So in fact, I need another one right now.
Actually, before that match, there was a bit of a.
Go on.
Actually, before that match, there was a bit of a spot too where Santa Claus came out and
yes.
was throwing out candy to everyone. And I'll let you carry on there, Luke.
Yeah, like you said, Santa came out for her candy, and then an old MCW favourite, Joffa, came out. Many people know him, obviously, from the Collingwood Cheers.
Boo! Boo! Just to say Collingwood, boo! Anyway, go on.
And it's funny you say that, because as a massive Collingwood fan myself...
That's why I did it.
Mind, guys.
I did, you know, I'm just trying, just having fun here, just having fun.
Yeah,
good
no,
power.
No, no.
God,
it's,
power.
It's all
anyway,
good.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, Josh.
No, I was up on my feet for this one, definitely. I was singing the song as it went with Joffa's theme. It was kind of maybe half-half with the, I'm guessing the old Collingwood fans in the crowd that were cheering for him. There was a few people I saw on their feet. He came out, like, threatening Santa Claus, like, I wanted a premiership, a Brownlow medal this year, I've been good, blah, blah, blah. And then JXT came out and he got rid of Joffa, and then they went on throwing candy, and I think they threw some T-shirts in the crowd as well. Yeah, just a little fun type of thing to come out of intermission.
Oh, very cool.
And that's the thing too, like JXT, he's loved by a lot of the, like so many of the kids in the crowd and all that, and Joffa, it looked like Joffa came out with the baseball bat and it looked like this guy's gonna hit Santa. But then JXT comes and saves the day and it was a good moment. So I don't want to see Santa Claus get beaten up. I don't know about you guys.
Not by Joffa of all people. Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah, anyway, at least thankfully JXT to the rescue, Josh Extreme, if you don't mind.
I felt like almost kicking him when he was down too, because I can't stand Collingwood either.
Just want that glow mesh jacket. Oh, wow. And after that, we had Emmanuel with Cousin Ali, the aforementioned Cousin Ali, going up against the man we all love, we all know him, Mr. Juicy. And actually, check out Torrent This TV on YouTube. Mr. Juicy telling good poop stories. It's worth a look.
Nothing's better than a poop story.
It's very good. Not bad. I'm stealing all his gimmicks here. not all of them, because I'm nowhere near the performer that he is. Amazing, Mr. Juicy. And he's had a hell of a year, 2014. I mean, he hasn't just been doing MCW. He has a lot of the talent, you know, in MCW. They're wrestling all over Australia, all over Victoria, all over the world even, for that matter. And... He's just had a rad year. going up against Emmanuel, this would have been, a clash of styles, but you also got two big personalities in the ring, and with Ali there as well, that would have been, a real highlight of this one, is the personalities involved on top of the wrestling, because I, from what I've seen of Emmanuel so far, he's going to be something. He's really going to be something.
I've got to say, out of all the whole MCW roster, I reckon Emmanuel gets the most heel heat. The crowd hate him.
Definitely.
Do you get the same look, yeah?
Yeah, he's like that young, cocky, arrogant, like, and he's that type of wrestler. And even though the crowd hates him, what makes him even better is that they know he's good. So it just kind of makes you hate him even more. Yeah, he's definitely got that arrogant feel about him. Yeah. And definitely going up against Mr. Juicy, who everyone absolutely loves, he's obviously going to get more heat as well.
Yeah, and I saw you had that poll, Josh, with the Wrestler of the Year and all that. I reckon you'd have to say that probably the two wrestlers in MCW 2014 would be Mr. Juicy and Kali Cannon. I'd say that would be my opinion on your poll that I seen you put up there.
Yes, got to
give it a quick plug.
Another reminder. I'm reminded folks at the top of the show, but remind you again, get onto our Facebook page, and I've put it in the show notes as well. The 2014 Wrestle Radio Australia Listener's Choice Awards. I nearly forgot the name of my own bloody awards thing there, but so we've got a heap of categories. Yep, we've got a few Australian categories, and there's 10 categories. So we've got, some of the, based on the American overseas wrestling, favourite promotions and that, and then your favourite Aussie wrestling. And even podcast guests. So there you go. You can check that out.
You might have to quickly add the Luke and Trev podcast in that the best listener. This is going very well, I feel.
A late addition. Yeah, that's right. It's like that. It's like that sort of that Oscars thing where it came out just before the awards. So it's like, we'll include it in next year's. We'll put it in next year's. We'll do that. But Emmanuel and Juicy, what were some of the highlights of this match, besides Mr. Juicy's insigiri, which I know he loves throwing that these days?
He did do an insigiri, which was very good. He also did a off-the-top rope, if you don't mind, jumping outside the ring onto it, both Emmanuel and Cousin Ali, which I definitely was not seeing coming from Mr. Juicy. That was definitely fun to watch. And then, of course, before the match, you had Juicy doing his antics, which, quite frankly, they never get old. He's probably one of the most, if not the most entertaining guys on the roster. Just, he's absolute blast to watch, absolute blast.
Yeah. It just shows how far he's come. Like, if you had said a couple of years ago that Mr. Juicy jumped off the top rope out to the outside onto someone, you'd think you're crazy. But
yeah,
he did it, and it didn't look out of place. He nailed it, and the crowd went off.
Even just from the start of this year, just watching him each event progress, you think this guy's actually, he's starting to get some good moves on him. You can tell he's improving, definitely, in the ring.
Yeah.
In the ring, and also, because he's lost a lot of weight, which we're not going to be able to call him Mr. Juicy. I think we were joking about this a while ago. We're not going to be able to call him Mr. Juicy soon because he's getting in such good shape now. We're going to have to call him Mr. Protein Bar or something. But, it's absolutely awesome the way that even things like him jumping off the top rope. I mean, if you'd watched Mr. Juicy 18 months ago, Mr. Juicy would go climb up to the top rope and he couldn't actually get up there, because that was part of the Mr. Juicy character. Now he's actually getting in such better shape week by week, month by month, show by show. You see him, you go, wow. Now he's incorporating that into, now I can actually get up there and I can deliver a high cross body and make people go, holy shit, or wow, like Luke did, So it's just I think it's very cool that taking that, it's really cool when you're able to sort of take that real life sort of stuff and then it actually plays into the character perfectly. It's pretty cool.
Like a few years ago, you were he was just funny. He was there and everyone would laugh. Yeah. Now he's got that sort of, he styles sort of that Samoan Joe. You look at him now and you think, he would kick my ass. He may be dancing and he may be laughing and all that sort of stuff still, but his in-ring style's changed so much that it's like you would think that this guy can fight, and I think that's why he's come such a long way. He's changed his style completely.
Yeah, definitely. It was like you said, how he was at first this type of funny guy. Just he was more of a character than a wrestler. but now he's definitely morphed both of them into one and become just one of the most over guys on the roster.
And that's not easy to do too, like to be the fun-loving guy that everyone laughs at still, but then once that bell rings to put on a fantastic match and be someone that can kick someone's ass. That's not an easy character to play.
Exactly.
And what I noticed from watching a couple of the shows on the Vimeo is that, like, from recent times, is that there's such a connection with the people and Mr. Juicy. Like, even like someone like Carlo Cannon as champion, he's just got that natural thing about him where he looks at someone, he connects, and bang, like it's there. But Mr. Juicy's got that same thing because the people get right behind him. Like, you've never seen a crowd want someone to win so bad. It's like, oh, come on, dude, that is really cool when like we said, going from that, just the guy that people are laughing at to, fuck, we want to see this guy win, like, and kick some ass, and he's doing it, and that's really cool. It's he's had a hell of a year,
Yeah, 2014 has definitely been his year.
Oh, yeah. So that PWI entry, or is it Mr. 489 or 491?
496.
496, okay. I should have known it was creeping up closer to the 500 point. I should have known. And then the main event, Carlo Cannon defeating the Messiah, Davis Storm representing the Solution from EPW Perth. Check them out if you're in the West, in Western Australia. They put on awesome shows, great stuff. They're online, their YouTube recaps and whatnot of their big events. Top stuff. Check them out. And also in this match, Jag Hartley Jackson from Adelaide, from my stomping ground, and from actually Wrestle Rampage, who Mr. Juicy, he also wrestles for them. And this was a TLC match for the MCW title, Carlo Cannon defending and defeating these two. And talk us through this one. I'll let you guys go at it because, this one would have been a cracker.
Yeah, it definitely was. But just before we get to that match, I just want to point out something at the end of the Juicy match.
Yes.
Emmanuel's kind of like calling for help. Like, at the stage, everyone's a bit confused. And Sebastian Walker, who I consider MCW's Paul Heyman, walked out. And then you'd see in the crowd, it was Slade Mercer and...
Gabriel.
Who was everyone trying?
Gabriel.
Yes, that's it. Gabriel Wolf, yes.
In his debut in MCW too.
Yeah. Both came in and they kind of, like, surrounded Juicy in the ring, kind of like a la The Shield. Delivered a brutal beatdown, no doubt. The crowd was definitely not happy about that. They weren't really booing the crowd. It was more just, like, silent. Like, everyone was more upset that he was, like, absolutely getting beat down. Definitely something to watch in the future, what those four or five guys can conjure up as a... you could call them, like, a unit now, a team in MCW.
Yeah, Sebastian Walker sort of finds the best guys and puts them... And is that... stereotypical manager where he wants to find the best guys, he wants to get championships so he makes more money, and he's found Slade Mercer, Gabriel Wolf, and Emmanuel and Cousin Ali, like all young guys that are right on the pinnacle of making it. And yeah, that's going to be very interesting to watch that stable. And a lot of the crowd were cheering for Elliot Sexton to come out and help because he has done that, but he had actually been sent home after his match with Mr. Juicy because he tweaked his ribs when he was with his match with Cousin Ali because he tweaked his ribs when he was slamming him. So he wasn't there to help. So, it was just a brutal beatdown that no one was around to help, and Juicy was one versus four or five.
Yeah, he was left for dead.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Luke.
I was just looking for, because we asked to sort of just put the shout out there, in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WrestleRadioAustraliaFans, or just search Wrestle Radio Australia Podcast on Facebook. You'll find the group and the page that you can like as well. And I just threw it out there to get some feedback on, I guess, on the show and a few questions here. And there was one comment here I did find that I believe you sent me regarding said beatdown, but I can't actually find the... find the comment here. I'll see if I can.
Is that the one I sent you?
Yes, here we go.
Hang on. Oh, you got it?
Yes, one from Corey Bowers here. Wanted to know what the deal was with the post-match beatdown and what the group what their plans are, I guess, what they want to achieve by attacking Mr. Juicy, and if others will follow being beat down. Also, why did Juicy not receive any help from anyone else? Well, I mean, Elliot Sexton, he'd been through a war earlier on, so I mean, I don't know if he's still, you know, sort of getting those ribs checked on or what the guy was there. Because,
yeah, well, Elliot Sexton was sent home.
He's been in a bad way
lately. Because he did tweak those ribs again, so he wasn't around, and I think they sort of knew that. And why nobody else sort of come out, I suppose it's five men who's going to want to come out and try and be the hero and stop that. Like, it's at the end of the day,
fresh,
it's five men.
As well.
You're going to walk out there and try and help, but you're probably going to get your ass kicked too, so I think it's best to stay back sometimes.
And also the fact that Sebastian Sander got the EPW Perth on the brain. Sebastian Walker, we all know, formerly the manager of the longest reigning MCW champion in history, Mike Peterson. So I mean, this guy knows what he's doing when he's sort of, you know, acquiring talent. He knows, you know, so if he can predict the future and predict who's going to be, you know, going to be a star. And I think that, Gabriel Wolf as well coming in, he's familiar to a lot of PCW wrestling fans in Victoria. They'll know his work. He's a unit as well. He's a fairly staunch sort of fella, and he can go in the ring.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since Sebastian Walker's been on a show. Like, he's been on commentary a little bit. He's been, I'm sure, just watching Encore on Demand and picking the guys that he sees something in. We saw Slade Mercer a few months ago. He thought he was ready for the next step, and he actually acquired Sebastian Walker, said, there's one guy that can help me get to that next step, and it is Sebastian Walker. So that partnership was already sort of formed. Obviously, he's found Gabriel Wolf, maybe watching some PCW tapes or something, and also Emmanuel. Well, that it doesn't take a genius to realize that that guy's the future. So he's acquired himself with the best young guys that he could find, and with Sebastian Walker's brain behind that, they're going to be hard to stop.
And Slade Mercer, like, he's very impressive. Actually hoping to get him on the show fairly soon and have a chat with him because heard a bit about his story on Covering the Canvas. He was on their show. Another plug for Jesse. You owe me one, dude, big time. and just sort of, you know, hearing all the sort of the things that he's accomplished and, you know, having WWE tryouts and all this sort of thing more than once. This guy, you know, is, I guess, he's impressed people enough to the point where even they've gone like, all right, we've got to take a look at this guy. And then seeing him again going, yeah, we've got to take another look at this guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely got big things in his future. And it's very cool that, you know, you've got this guy from New Zealand coming over and now he's, you know, this Ultimo heel in MCW. It works a treat having, you know, having that New Zealand v Australia sort of flavour there. It never goes wrong. Like SAV Victoria, it's always money. It just works.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, just putting it out there, but I think Australian wrestling needs more ethnicity, I guess. In it, I guess that's the easiest way to put it. You know, I guess that all depends on the talent coming through and people wanting to get involved. But, you know, it'd be great to see, you know, a really good Aboriginal star or really good, you know, African star or somebody like that come into a promotion and then really sort of, I guess, be a role model for their community in this sort of field. I'd like to see a lot more of it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there as a random sidebar. just one of those thoughts. So, Carlo Cannon defending in the triple threat match, and Jag back in MCW, back in Victoria competing. He's a veteran from South Australia. He's really been on fire lately with all the stuff he's been doing in the ring. I've noticed he's in the best shape I've ever seen him in, and some of the stuff he's been doing as far as character-wise with the South Australian serial killers with Jonah Rock. They're starting to tear it up as a tag team, and yeah, really, really cool stuff that he's been doing. Davis Storm, Travis, I mean, like, from those promos that Warship and The Solution were sort of putting out going back from last year with Warship and EP Dub, and now to David Storm sort of, you know, doing his best to try and invade MCW. It's been really cool to see that I guess it's almost like a cross promotion of, whenever you've got a big star from one company going to another and working there, there's always that awareness, which I hope sort of comes about. It's really cool.
Yeah. And Jake Hartley Jackson's just got that presence about him. Like the first time I ever announced, I was at a show at Thornbury Theatre and they asked me to do a backstage interview with him. And to be honest, I was shitting myself because he just has that. He has that look like he's going to kick my ass if I stuff this up. He's got that about him. And definitely the MCW fans know who he is. Once again, we've talked about it all night. Like, he hasn't been around for a long time, but they know who he is as soon as he comes out. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got that presence about him. When you see a big body guy, even the way he comes out with that type of mask thing over his face, you think like, oh shit, like this guy, he's going to be serious. You know, he gets in this ring and you're not going to want to deal with him. He's definitely got that presence about him.
Yeah. But this match was, probably equal with the first match as the best match on the card. There was a moment where it's been all over Facebook and all that. Carlo Cannon was thrown through two tables on top of each other from the top rope. And like I said it on commentary, I think we're going to see a new champion because I couldn't see Carlo Cannon getting up from that. Like that was just... there was just sound of wood and body parts and things going everywhere, and I thought that's Carlo wiped out. It's going to be between the Messiah and Jag, but yeah, Carlo Cannon, like he always does, he defies his critics, and yeah, he got back in it, and yeah, really good match.
Yeah, exactly right. This was definitely the best TLC match of the weekend in wrestling worldwide, promotion-wide. like you said, with that spot with Carlo going through the tables, that was when that happened. The whole crowd was just like whoa, like this could be the end of his title reign. And if you actually go on the MCW Instagram page, that there's a video of that spot. If you didn't see it, you can check it out there on the Instagram page. Like you said, a lot like the first match, it was just nonstop action. Just you had one thing happening at one end, and then you just see someone else jump in with like a chair, just smacking it over someone's head. It was really, really fun match to watch. And like you said, Carlo Cannon, at the end of the day, like he's done so often, defied the critics, held on to the MCW championship.
Yeah, and the whole match sort of played out where you thought, oh, the Messiah's going to win here. He's got it. He's standing up, Jag's out, Carlo's outside the ring. He's got it. And then all of a sudden, it just got flipped so quickly. And, oh, hang on, Jag's going to win this. Jag's going to be the new champion. And it just kept you always guessing. And that spot with Carlo Cannon, that was the most insane spot I've seen. And it's sort of in wrestling, sometimes you see things where they're up top of the rope like Jag had him up on his shoulders and like, surely this isn't going to happen. Like this, Carlo's going to fight his way out. And then he didn't. He threw him out and threw him through those tables. And wow, I was sweating at the announce table. This match was so intense. Like,
And on top of the going through the tables, that floor that he landed on is just, it's like wood, you know, like solid, like wood, kind of like a basketball court. So it wasn't a soft landing no matter what.
That little video has been my little video that I've shown to all the wrestling haters at work that say, oh, just pretend fighting and, hey, have a look at this, man. Have a look at this. Yeah, even if they go, all right, that would hurt. No shit.
Definitely. This was, like you said, it was an edge of your seat type of match. It was this drama, twists and turns. It was everything you'd want out of a professional wrestling title match. Just three guys putting their absolute bodies on the line, hearts on the line to win the gold. And that's when wrestling's at its best. When you have a group of guys determined to win, they've got the same goal. And it just makes for unbelievable matches like we saw last Saturday night.
Yeah, great comeback by Carlo. Like when he was out, and he was out for a long time, and I think all the crowd, I don't know if you were the same, Luke, but thought, Carlo's out of this. He's finished.
Yeah, no doubt.
That fight back when you've got two guys that the crowd don't like and you've got the hero that the crowd loves, the face of MCW, and he finally gets to his feet and then comes into the ring and that's like what you said, Luke, that's wrestling when it's best and just shows you don't need stairs in a tables, ladders and chairs match, do you?
The weigh a reported 300 pounds each, I believe, was the ease claim on that one. So, unlike that TLC show, no LCD monitors exploding in one of your top baby faces, causing him to look like a doofus. Here, we have a nice, solid, happy, fun ending to 2014 for MCW.
I tried that at home and it just unplugged. But,
hey, it's WWE. They got heavy. Everything's heavy duty. It's heavy duty.
There was no
Crackerjack sort of playing any mind games here at the end of the show. Not rearing his head. There was all. No,
but there was actually a promo video that played on the two big screens that we had. Crackerjack laying it down to Carlo Cannon that I'm coming for you, and
oh, he did. Oh, I was just jokingly, half jokingly, sort of asking after the after the last show.
Did you write
the
show? Yeah, so that during
script,
the
script I was privy to. Yeah, no, just joking. Joking.
During the celebration, as soon as Carlo Cannon got it, the crowd went up, and then all of a sudden the video hit, and there was a video of Crackerjack, and he just will not go away, no matter what Carlo Cannon can do. Last time we seen him, he speared Casey Cassidy, and Carlo Cannon just bloodied him up, like going to a dark place that you don't often see Carlo do, and Crackerjack is definitely still got Carlo Cannon on his radar, and that was one thing that was definitely put through.
Our mate here on Facebook, Emilio, who's calling himself Ilario, but I think that's a soccer reference. I have no idea. But anyway, he was basically saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you guys pop when Crackerjack speared KC? I know, Travis, that you were going off your head. You were going bonkers. Because for him, it was 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
11 out of 10. All right. What am I doing here? Yeah, am I doing my commentary kayfabe, or am I doing the...
We're all over the joint today. It's there's no rules.
it was an awesome moment. It was the crowd couldn't believe it, but it's the commentary side. It was absolutely disgusting, Crackerjack, and you're such a big man trying to attack women.
And there's another guy, Crackers, who's been all over the place. Wrestle Clash, Wrestle Rock, like MC Dub, PC Dub, Warzone, bloody hell, you name it.
Yeah, and when he speared KC, I think that's what made this personal. When that happened, that's like, that's not something you do. You don't spear a female, or especially when it's the girlfriend of the MCW champion. Mind games getting into his head. It might work against him, though, because it's like on the previous show, we saw an aggressive side of Carlo we've never seen before. So maybe it's going to backfire on Crackerjack because he's awoken a sleeping giant. So we'll have to wait and see how that works out.
And it'll be Cannon versus Crackerjack at the first event for 2015 at Vendetta. So no taking a breath at MCW, straight into it. And probably the most talked about feud that's been going for a while. So.
And Luke, like you said, you know, like maybe, maybe he's bitten off a bit more than he can chew, but this is Crackerjack. You never know. And that's
exactly
the beauty
right.
about that is the beauty right here about Carlo v. Crackerjack and Crackers playing his mind games is that you never freaking know with Crackers. And that's going to be the beauty watching this whole thing play out for MCW fans.
And it's also, will good, Cannon good have to go back to that dark place to beat Crackerjack? Mm. That's going to be the other good thing to watch. Like, he's loved by the crowd. You've seen he apologised to all the fans and all that for what he did to Crackerjack. But I think he might have to go back to that spot if he's going to beat Crackerjack because, he's a loose cannon, Crackerjack.
I want him to go back to, like, 2007 Carlo when he was in EPW Adelaide and he had the red trunks with tassels. I'm like, bring back the tassels, man.
Mm. In my first show, he was with Ryan Rollins in BFFs. And he was dancing and had sexy sunglasses. So,
that was an awesome act, the BFFs.
Yeah.
They were amazing. Oh.
Yeah, that dance of Ryan Rollins, we were all practicing that after the show, but no one could quite nail it like him.
Ga, ga, ooh, la, la. That's
I'm sure Luke was doing it. Were you doing it, Luke, after the...
Trying to replicate.
Oh, far out. Good times. And Emilia actually also asked you, because we've got a few questions here, now that we're, so almost pretty much done with talking about the actual show, Final Battle, Melbourne City Wrestling, on VOD soon. Soon, folks. He also asks, how is MCW going to try and grow and expand, even if it is a slow process? Are they going to, or are you going to introduce new talent to the audience, even if it's only one or two times, to give some different flavour? And will there be some new long-term staying wrestlers? I know that you're not the booker man, Travis, so I know that you don't know everything that's going on, but what can you tell us that I guess that you may know of, or that you would like to even see happen?
Yeah, well, seeing MCW expand, I think it's as simple as putting on shows like what they did on Saturday. Like, my mum was at that show, and she does not like wrestling. And after the show, she's like, oh, that was great. I'll come back again. And that's, I think, slowly what we've got to try and do, and just by putting on really good shows, is get people to bring their friends in. And even if they're not wrestling fans, say, come check out this show. And they show the videos of, like, Cannon going through the table, and they see the pictures of all the fireworks and all that, and they thought, well, I really want to see this. They come, they introduce more friends, and that's slowly how it's not going to happen overnight, but slowly that audience. And MCW's got a really good foundation of fans. Like, we've got the Front Row Mafia who are there every single time, and then you've got people, you see all the same familiar faces, and then it's really good that you see new faces. And I think word of mouth and the promotion that MCW does, and that's what's going to really take it to the next level. And honestly, like, I can, taking off my MCW hat, I can see MCW becoming very, very big. And I can see Thornbury Theatre in a couple of years' time, if they continue to put on shows like this, and they've got the Essendon venue now. I think with the Tullamarine, I think a lot of people got excited. They went to Thornbury Theatre for the big show, and then they went to the next show, and it felt like it was a bit of a demotion. Now with the Essendon show, it's got that same sort of feel, and I think you're going to definitely get more people coming and coming, and they're not just going to go to the Thornbury Theatre shows. They're going to want to go to those other shows at Essendon all the time. And I think MCW they're going to skyrocket. That's my prediction, and that's not just me being biased. They're always putting on fantastic shows. Yeah, I probably went a little bit long then, didn't I?
No, you're right.
With reaching a wider audience, like, it's not turning into me texting people, oh, do you want to go to the wrestling? They're texting me, oh, when's the next wrestling event, the next MCW event? Yeah. And that's what you want. You want people asking, when is this? Like, oh, I want to be there. I want to be in the front row. I want to be there. I want to see what happens. That's what you want. When you have people who, admittedly, some of my mates who don't watch any wrestling at all, and I see them texting me, oh, when's that next MCW event? That's when you know, like, it's really working. It's reaching people. It's reaching people from the outside audience base that it's aimed at, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I had 10 people there on Saturday, and I think two of them are wrestling fans, what you class as wrestling fans, and all of those, I know, I'm confident they'll be coming to the next show. And that's what it is. It doesn't matter if you weren't around in the Attitude Era, you didn't watch wrestling, you don't watch Raw every Tuesday. This is a show like no other. Like, there is nowhere else you'll go to a show that has everything that MCW has, and it's entertainment at its purest form, in, you know, athletes and live entertainment like nothing else. So that's what I can see MCW becoming big. And I think especially now with the Essendon venue, you know, hopefully everyone's coming to every show. I think a lot of the important thing with Aussie wrestling is you have to know who the guys are. You go to a first show and there are a bunch of strangers coming out, you don't really form a massive bond straight away with them until you start to see them. And once their music hits, oh, here comes Mr. Juicy, here comes Emmanuel, you start to feel part of it. And that's what I want the MCW crowd to feel, like they're part of something, like this niche that we're the MCW crowd, and we know everything about MCW. We know as soon as that first note of that music hits, we know who that is, and we know what that guy's like. And and if we continue to get guys coming to every single show like that, not just the big shows, MCW's, there's no limit.
Exactly right.
And one here from a member of the Front Row Mafia, Andrew Stewart. What would you like to see MCW implement in 2015? We'll start with Luke. What do you want to see in MCW?
It's a fantastic question.
I know Mikey J will be listening to this, and Tommy. So
it's kind of like at what I said at the start of the conversation about the Divas or Women's Division. Sorry, in MCW, how it's really growing and growing, and maybe a championship for an MCW Women's Championship could be. It'd be fun to watch. It'd add a lot more spark to that already awesome Women's Division we have in MCW.
Our mate Michael JL Roach in the JL. Yes, I said Michael JL Roach. Mr. JL. There you go, Michael. he was actually asking the same question, like, you know, is there a chance of bringing in a women's title? And would it be a good idea? So, yeah, you're not the only one on that train of thought.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be an awesome idea. Absolutely awesome idea.
Yeah, and I think that the women's division, I was going to say Divas division, the women's division, it's really grown a lot now. Like, there is a lot of competitors. Like, you don't want to bring in a title if it's going to be out of two or three of the same sort of wrestler, like what it is in WWE. But you've got, like, we've had Demi Bennett come in, we've had Madison Eagles come in, Tony Storm, Casey Cassidy. There's quite a really good roster of girls, and I think a women's title would be really good. I'd be definitely up for that idea, 100%.
That'd be very cool. And, so like I was saying, Warzone, with Kellyanne, you know, they've brought in the women's title and she won that off Savannah Summers. So, you know, you've really, and in RCW a couple of years ago, the women's title came in, and it's, I think, yeah, like when you've got that, you've got to have enough contenders to make it worthwhile. But at the same time, at the moment, it's really handy for the women's divisions anywhere in Australia just because of the amount of talent that's, you know, that's coming through MCW. But then you've got people like Michelle K. Haslack, like a lot of the women that were on the Fight for a Cause show, and, you know, City Chicks Unleashed, and, you know, the PWWA roster, for instance, you know, all those girls, that which is actually a lot of those girls. But, you know, Madison Eagles coming back, Kelly Skater, when she's back down in Australia, that she'll be doing the rounds again. She's been killing it in Japan, doing her thing over there a lot. So, like, yeah, that would be really cool to see. Because, you know, the tag belts came in. It was a couple of years ago, was it, for the tag belts? Or
yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah. It was final battle last year.
Yep.
No, that's when the Loose and the Reckless won it. No, it was a couple of months before that. So it's been around for about a year and a half now. So still pretty fresh. But I think MCW's done the right thing. Like, they've been patient with the women's title, make sure that they can develop that division before they bring it in too early, because we keep on bagging WWE, but we all seen titles that mean nothing. And you've got to really get that division around that title and make that mean something. If it was just Casey Cassidy and Miami and it was out of them, it just kept on switching between those two, the title would mean nothing. But now there's so many good competitors in it. Yeah,
and you've got indie promotions even in Australia that will have a heavyweight title, and the champ isn't even 200 pounds soaking wet, you know. And then you've got an open weight, and then you've got a lightweight, and then you've got a light heavyweight, and then you've got a tag team title, and then you've got a light heavyweight tag team title. It's like, for fuck's sake, you've got like 10 guys on your roster. Just worry about getting that one title to mean something. And then getting your talent over around that belt, and then hey, you know, like, you're off to the races. It's I don't know what that fascination is with having all these belts flying around. You know what I mean? That mean nothing. It renders such a handy tool in wrestling virtually useless and meaningless when you overshoot it like that. It's crazy, you know.
Exactly. Everyone, every fan should know without a shadow of a doubt who the champion is, and you start putting too many titles in there. And like, someone asked me that, my wife asked me, oh, who's the tag champ in WWE? And I had to think, like, I was 100% sure. I watch it every week, and it just shows that title absolutely means nothing. And now if a women's title comes in, the matches are so high caliber and they're high on the card and all that I think it's probably time where it might not be in the next few months, it might not be even in a year, but when it happens, it's going to mean something, and everyone will know that Casey Cassidy is the champion or Madison Eagles is the champion. And
yeah, you're exactly right. And when there's only like a couple titles like that instead of like 10 or in a ridiculous amount, it adds a lot more a big match feel to the title match. It's like on Saturday night when we had the TLC match, it's like, okay, this is the match for the championship. It's not, oh, it's just for the MCW championship. It's not like you don't even really call them by their names. It's just, it's got the tag champs and the champs, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what you really need.
And I think only if that was to happen and a women's title was to come in, the three should only be fought on the same night at a Thornbury Theatre show. Like, you could spread it out across the Essendon shows and have a women's title match and have a tag team title match maybe on the same night, but not have all three. To have all three, that's a big deal. And
exactly.
Make them Thornbury Theatre shows feel even more special.
Oh, yeah, and even if you're going to have a women's title match, you know, and really build it up, there's no reason why it couldn't main event a show. If you give people that reason and that want and that feeling of, I can't miss this, this is going to be amazing, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't. I don't care what anyone says about women's wrestling and about them not being able to draw. If you do it, if you build it right and you give it time and you promote it, if you book them, they will come. Wayne's World, party time. Excellent, right?
Exactly.
But it's true. You just got to do it right and put the faith in them, because there's the amazing talent out there that will deliver. They'll do it.
Well, it's like we saw at NXT last week with Charlotte and Sasha Banks. Like, that was one of the best matches on the card. And it's the same thing with MCW. The women's matches is like, it's one of the best matches on the card every single event. So when it's done right and done correctly, they can put on an amazing match.
Yeah, I could see, like, if Toni Storm, for instance, was to win the women's title, the pop would be insane.
Definitely a fan favorite in the crowd.
Yeah, so definitely be good to bring it in. I think the division's definitely working towards that. So, anything else, Luke, that you'd like to implement? Sorry, Josh, I'll take over your show.
No, go for it, mate. I think this will be Wrestle Radio Australia with Travis Houston in 2015. Look out for it on your favourite podcast, Catcher. Yeah, go for it.
Not really. Like, when you think about it, when you think where the MCW is right now, it's still relatively a new type of promotion as well, like hasn't been around for years on end. I think it's in a good position right now. It's got the talent, the great matches, it's drawing numbers, and it's like an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you want to keep it going how it is now. Maybe most likely a women's championship in the near future will definitely spark things up a little bit, but at the moment, as a fan going to the shows, like, I don't leave the show saying, oh, I wish they do this or I wish they bring that in. It's just really like, that was awesome. When's it on again, you know?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's really, really good at the moment. Really good.
Yeah, one real small thing that I'd love to add to shows, and Mikey J knows this, is I want to have the MCW theme, and I've been endlessly looking for it. I want, as soon as the show starts, that theme to hit and people to know MCW starting. Something like what ECW used to have, where you have that music and the crowd know straight away that music's hit, it's game time. You know what I mean? That's one real small thing. But
Dan and RCW, we've had the same music for, since like the first show that I saw at the Caradinga YMCA, like this tiny venue about 7 years ago. And now, you know, like, I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the guys had a band, and so they were like, oh, we'll get together and we'll compose the RCW like theme song, so that when Josh and that come out, rah rah, and the show starts, that's the music. Well, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. And so, but at the same time, our people have been so accustomed to that familiar, and I don't even know what the bloody music's called. It's some awesome instrumental. But people are so used to it now that we're just like, let's just keep it. Because again, like, the lights drop, that hits, people know, woo, and it's time, you know?
And I bet you if they heard that song on the radio, they say, ooh, RC Dub. You know what I mean?
they probably say, change it, this is weird. But in that setting, it friggin' works, you know? It's just perfect. So.
Yeah. That's a very small thing, but besides that, there's not a hell of a lot. I think everything's going exactly how it should. So.
Very cool. And before we let you guys go, I just want to make mention of, again, MCW Encore. It's vimeo.com/Melb City Wrestling, and you can purchase older events. You're usually out, you know, a week or two after the actual shows, but this one is going to take, as Mikey said, to be a couple of weeks before it's out. He said it's going to be worth it. So you can check out this show that we've been talking about in a couple of weeks. When it's out, we'll give you all the details on social media and that. Check them out on Facebook as well, Melb City Wrestling there. There's also a MCW versus the World compilation that you can grab. You can rent it for, I think it's $10 online as an iPay-per-view, or you can actually download the file for $15. And there's some rad stuff on here, guys. There's you got Crackerjack versus Hardcore Holly. So you got all this international talent that have come in to MCW throughout the years. You got Matt Silver, now known as Buddy Murphy. Hey, buddy. Hashtag Team Thick. Over there in NXT, him taking on Sonjay Dutt. You got Ryan Rollins, who's now Australian Suicide, over in AAA, killing it over there in the lucha scene, going up against Billy Suede. I think Billy Suede's from the UK, is he? Yes? No? I'm pretty sure he is from the UK, Billy Suede. We've got... Hey, you're right. You've got we got Emmanuel versus Dan the Hammer Head from Ascension 2014. Dowie James versus Roger Ventura. Roger Ventura from New Zealand. He is an awesome athlete in the ring. He's amazing. And then you've got Slex versus Paul London. So yeah, that's a great compilation that's out at the moment. Check that out. Vimeo.com/Melb City Wrestling. And yeah, also all a lot of the older events from the last 2 or 3 years, you can check them out on there as well. And fellas, sorry. Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, has Luke checked out Video On Demand, the Encore? Have you watched the show on that?
I haven't yet, to be honest, because I'm pretty much at all of them, so I haven't really had the chance to, but it'll definitely check it out. I've got a couple of the DVDs, so yeah. It's pretty much the same thing just through the internet. They're awesome productions to watch, really, really well done by the MCW crew.
Yeah, that's right. And even if you've been to the show too, like I'm there commentating and announcing, and there's nothing better than actually watching it and the production they put together. It's not your standard Aussie wrestling DVD where it's just one fixed camera. This is a work of art, I'll say it is.
Travis, get to the point. Buy the Vimeo so you can hear the dulcet tones of Travis used in the voice of MC Dub.
Yeah, and I commentate. And that's it. I commentate. If that doesn't sell it, I don't know what will. But, yeah, it's just – this is a perfect show because it was such a massive show, and us talking about it probably doesn't do it justice. Like, if you're at the show and you want to sort of relive it with commentary and all the fantastic camera angles and maybe getting to see the parts you couldn't see because the crowd was so jam-packed, and MCW Encore is probably the greatest thing that's come together for a wrestling fan, because you don't have to – gone are the days you have to wait till the next event to buy the DVD, and by then everything's a little bit old. Like, these are out a couple of weeks after the event. You can watch it on anything you want. Like, I watch it on the iPad, or you watch it on Apple TV or whatever you can – or your computer or your phone, whatever. Definitely the future, and the Mikey J and the boys, they've really put their heart and soul into it. And if you haven't checked out Video On Demand, and Luke, I'm looking at you, get it, and you'll be hooked to get every single one, because it's very good.
I'm just stuck on when you said Mikey J and the boys. It sounds like an 80s hip-hop group. Mikey J and the boys, yeah!
Yeah, that's quite good.
Book that shit.
Mikey J and the boys, hey, maybe that's a new stable.
Mini T and the boys, hey?
Oh, Mini T and Mikey J and the boys.
Hey, look out.
I had a few people ask me at the last show, what's Mini T? Yeah. Awesome. So thanks for that. Yeah.
No worries. Anytime. There's a collabo, Mini T and Mikey and the boys.
And you can check out Mini T on the cassette tape in my bedroom if you want to have a listen to some of his work.
Ladies.
That did sound a bit sleazy, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did sound a bit off.
You can check out Mini T on my cassette tape in my room. Yeah.
On that note, folks, fellas, any more final thoughts on Final Battle before we take this baby home?
Fantastic event. Watch it on Video On Demand.
Absolutely unbelievable stuff.
Awesome. Well, it will be out soon. Like I said, check out Melbourne City Wrestling on Facebook, on Twitter, MCity Wrestling. And Luke, Travis, thank you for joining us. This has been a hell of a lot of fun. Before we let you guys go, Luke, get your Twitters and whatnot out the way. Are you still doing the NBA blogging and whatnot?
Yes, I'm writing for King James Gospel, a Cleveland Cavaliers blog on the internet. You can check out my stuff on there. Twitter at Luke Sicari. A lot of wrestling and American sports related stuff going on there. footy, so anything sports really, and wrestling, I'm just all over it. So if you want to have a chat with me, I'll be welcome to reply to you, and we'll have a good chat about anything. That's at Luke Sicari, and that's about it. Go check out the next MCW event.
Do that, folks. And Travis, get your plug-a-roonies out of the way.
I've just got my Travis Houston Facebook page, which is just my strictly MCW page, where I post predictions, opinions, latest news from MCW, and it's just sort of another avenue that people can check out daily and sort of see what's going on in MCW that's not on the MCW page itself. So there's a few articles on there and stuff of just what I'm thinking is happening at the moment and what I think's going to happen in the future. And with 2015 coming up, it's going to be a big year. So, like my page, and you'll get everything from a bit of a different avenue from a guy that sits on the commentary desk and watches it from the best seat in the house. And, and I like you that little bit more if you like my page.
And if you purchase a on-demand video from Melbourne City Wrestling. Melbourne City Wrestling. I've got to get used to that. The Twitter's M City Wrestling and the Facebook and the Vimeo's Melbourne City Wrestling. Check out the on-demand. Awesome content there. Luke, Trav, thank you very much. This has been great. And, I think we're going to have to do this again sometime very soon in 2015.
Yeah, definitely. Look forward to it. No, thanks for having me
it's
on.
It's been a pleasure.
Alrighty, that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Please do subscribe to the show if you haven't already on fnxstream.com. You can subscribe to the RSS there. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, and many other great podcatchers. Follow us on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, and you can find me at Josh JD Armour. Also, there's the Facebook group. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia Podcast. You'll find it there in Facebook. That's where you can leave questions for upcoming guests when we know who we're going to be having on the show. We'll let you guys know so you can, have your input and partake in the episode. And if you want to leave us a gift for the holidays, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you have found the show, fnxstream.com, because that will help get the show in more ears. The more ratings and the more reviews there are around the place, the more ears we're going to get into, and that's what we want. So we would greatly appreciate that. And don't forget about those awards as well. The link is in the show notes. It's all over our Facebook and Twitter, so get onto that. Love to know what you guys dug in 2014. Big thanks to my guests today, Kellyanne English. Check her out at the Thornbury Theatre Hardcore Match versus Vixen at that From Parts Unknown Fight Like a Girl premiere in Thornbury, Victoria, January 10th. Also, Luke Sicari and Travis Houston from Melbourne City Wrestling. Awesome to have you guys back on the show. Thunderstag for our theme music. New tunes coming from them in the new year. Look out for that. And Dane Davies for our main logo. You are the man, punching above your weight, as always. OzPodcast.com.au and FNXstream.com, thank you for your support. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you, the listener. Happy holidays. My name's Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. Vote for those awards, don't forget.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuts and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night.
G and the boys, yeah!